Hey, welcome back to Life Sculptors. I'm your host, Dante Poole. Just, man, what an adventure life has been lately, and I am incredibly grateful for all of the many who have listened to my TEDx talk, who listened to reels from our podcast, who listened to the podcast and have subscribed. I'm just overwhelmed by the amount of support, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you to those of you who listen, and you know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be heard, to be seen, and to know that there are people out there who are journeying with you, who all want better for their lives. And so that's the intent of this podcast, these conversations. It's where we help your life take shape. And so grateful, so grateful. So here we are with another great read today. This is very interesting book. You know, I try to find interesting reads. So here we are, Unicorns Are the Worst by Alex Willen. Yes, Unicorns Are the Worst. So let's get into this conversation. For 400 years, or actually for hundreds of years, I have gone about completing my important goblin business in peace. From documenting spells, to gathering ingredients for spells, to alphabetizing the ingredients I've gathered for spells. No distractions, no interruptions, just me and my work. But guess who decided to move into the meadow next door? Unicorns. Like, now I know what you're going to say. Unicorns are the best. Unicorns are magical, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's true, but a lot of things are magical, like elves and fairies and what's the other one? Elves, fairies, and goblins. I've studied the forgotten magic that lies deep within the earth, and I know spells that can transform socks into slugs. I can turn broccoli into ice cream. Still tastes like broccoli. And I have mastered the three-strand braid. But despite all of this, does anyone ever ask to have a goblin-themed birthday party? I think not. Meanwhile, all unicorns do is frolic around all day on their dainty unicorn hooves. Frolicking isn't even hard. Goblins can frolic. We just choose not to. I don't get it. I mean, they're just horses with pointy heads. And I have pointy ears, but you don't hear me carrying on about it. And the glitter. So much glitter. Do you realize how hard it is to get glitter out of a schmuck? They are constantly playing their instruments. Newsflash, unicorns. Not everyone likes harp music. And the tea parties. So many tea parties. It's not like they ever asked me to one of their tea parties. Nah, not that I would even have time for tea parties when there's all this important work to be done. It's not like this shrub is going to document itself. Or do I? I do enjoy a good cup of tea, though. Perhaps the occasional crumpet. Well, we'll never know because someone around here has to take their work seriously. And you know what? I wouldn't go to one of their silly tea parties even if they asked me. You know why? Because unicorns are the worst. My pages are sticky. Here we go. I would rather be neighbors with gnomes or this dragon or a chicken or a wait a minute. I have to show you the picture. The goblin standing in front of a dragon. Dragon! Run for your lives! Save yourselves, my little sock slugs! Well, I guess unicorns do have some good traits. For instance, did you know that their glitter can put out dragon fire? And that harp music can be quite disorienting? Those dainty hooves pack quite a wallop. And it turns out, a unicorn's horn is more than just pointy. It's magical. All right, fine. As far as neighbors go, unicorns aren't that bad. But I think we can all agree, dragons are the worst. The end. I simply don't understand why anyone would like unicorns. I mean, seriously, is there anything worse? The goblin says. Let me tell you something. Goblin is throwing mad shade on the unicorns. He is just, oh my goodness, he is not a fan of unicorns. Can I tell you that sometimes our perceptions of things and people have historic roots? We don't have any real proof of them, but we believe them because of who tells us the story. Man. And let me tell you what happens with our perceptions of people. We easily slide into comparison. Oh my gosh. A comparison. It is a disease of our self-esteem and self-worth. And it operates below the surface of our consciousness sometimes. We it affects our self-concept, our well-being, and it is used as a tool of prediction. Oh, let me tell you what I mean by that. It means that when I am trying to predict what's going to happen or how things are going to turn out, I usually base it on the comparison that I'm making between myself and whoever's involved or myself and my ability to accomplish a thing. And so I make these comparisons between things. See, Brené Brown says this. She says, comparison is the crush of conformity on one side and competition from the other side. It's trying to simultaneously fit in and stand out. And so when we compare ourselves to others, we typically, like the feelings that we that get manifested as a result of that are anger and fear and shame and sadness. Goblin has an issue of comparison. And at first I was trying to figure out, is Goblin, like, is he jealous or is he envious? I couldn't figure out because sometimes we use those words interchangeably and they are not the same. As a matter of fact, envy is about wanting something that somebody else has. It's wanting something somebody else has, while jealousy is about losing what you already have to somebody else. Y'all, we have been using these words wrong, right? And so envy, it's based on the value that I put on the other person or on the group of people or on things. It's that I want what you have, or I don't even want you to have it. Oh, you have met those people who, it's not just that they don't want you to have it. If they don't want what you have. And they don't want you to have it either. See, when I'm envious, then I have placed you in a category of superiority to me. I have said that what you have is better than me. envy, man. It's again, it's based on the value that we place on other people, on other groups, on other things. It is about me wanting something someone else has. But jealousy? Oh, jealousy, man, this is a cognitive response to the feelings of loss. I know. And it's because we've placed the evaluation of value on something that's, our evaluation of it is wrong. It's not just the fear of loss, but it's also the fear of our self-worth too. You've seen this in children, and some of you might say, I know some adults this way. I mean, I'm not talking about you, but you might know some adults who operate this way. Like, they don't like for you to be friends with somebody they're not friends with. Like, they go through changes because you are connected to somebody that they don't want to be connected to. And somehow they feel like if you're connected with them, then that person has the ability to steal you from them as if people are possessions. Jealousy. Jealousy is about the loss of attention or the loss of time or money or opportunity or relationship or the potential for the loss or the misconception that I could lose it. It's particularly evident when I think that something is unfair. Can I tell you that when I think something is unfair, I go through changes. And it can lead to self-destructive and unhealthy choices. Yep, because at the core of our comparison is our struggles with identity. It's really an identity crisis that we're having when, because I'm not sure all of who I am. And so I start looking at who you are and comparing myself to who you are and measuring my life against the life that you project out to the rest of the world, even though it might not be all of who's what's really happening in your life, but I do it anyhow. And we often experience resentment and embarrassment and shame because of the lens that we rely on to perceive ourselves. In other words, we see ourselves through other people's eyes. For some people, what you think of me weighs more heavily than how I see myself. Oh, yeah, it's an identity issue for sure, y'all. It is. Our own identity issues are often even self-inflicted distortions. We bring it on ourselves. And here's the other truth. What we adopt as truth, we become. And so if I believe I'm unlovable, guess what I become? Unlovable. If I believe that I'm ugly, or unattractive, or not talented, or not smart, or not good at something, I just become that. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. What we adopt as truth, we become. And sometimes what happens is when we are in this identity crisis or are having some identity issues, we become opportunistic. See, Goblin was opportunistic. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Goblin, what he did, so sometimes an opportunist, let me give the definition first of all before I say that. An opportunist is someone who takes advantage of circumstances with little or no regard for principles or the consequences of others. Let me say it again. An opportunist is someone who takes advantage of situations and circumstances with little or no regard for principles and with no regard for the consequences of others. Goblin, he is having an issue with unicorns until he needs them for the dragon. And now all of a sudden, they're his friends. They're not so bad after all. Prior to those moments, Goblin saw the unicorns as, this is my new word, Picayune, P-I-C-A-Y-U-N-E. It means worthless, insignificant, trifling, petty, measly. Oh, and how often do we see someone as worthless, insignificant? They ain't nobody. And really, what we're doing is we're projecting our own struggle onto others. When I don't see myself as something, it's hard for me to see it in others too. So I'll project my struggle onto others. And we conveniently find faults in others until who they are is of benefit to our situation. Y'all, Goblin was finding fault with the unicorns until it was convenient for him. See, I want to challenge you to not just create space for others who are different from you out of opportunity. Like, no one wants to feel like they're being used or tolerated. I'll tell you right now, I will not be just tolerated. Ain't no need in you pretending you like me. Just go ahead on with your life. It's okay. It's okay. Because guess what? Because of who I am, I'm still going to treat you with respect. I'm still going to find a way to see the value in who you are, even if you can't see it in me. And so be careful that you aren't listening to the voices of those who only see you as a step towards something, or they see you as something or someone they can use to get out of their own discomfort. See, that was part of the issue with Goblin. He had an issue with the unicorns until he felt like they had a way of helping him get out of his discomfort of having to deal with the dragon. And so he's listening to them. He's trying to tell them, hey, you know, y'all ain't so bad. People, one of the coaches I've been working with said to me, like, people will pay to get out of discomfort. I'm going to develop that a little more, and I will say that people will do anything to get out of pain or discomfort, even at the expense of others and themselves. Some people even surrender their principles when they are in a crisis of identity or discomfort. I want you to beware of a person who is unprincipled. Someone who has no principles or has very few principles, because these are issues of the heart. They manifest as issues of character. See, the world we live in is full of distraction and it has a lure to get us to give or to live, rather, unprincipled, undisciplined lives. But I'm telling you, it's important that you set a standard for the way you will live. What do I mean by standard? I'm not talking about just simple expectations. A standard is a guideline. It's the yardstick. It is a measure or the touchstone. It's the exemplar. It's a requirement. It's a rule even. And we set a standard, and everything else is measured against it. And if it doesn't align with my principles, then I don't participate. That's a standard. In ancient times, a flag was considered a standard, and the flag was a symbol of the rule of a kingdom or some leadership, right? And those who submitted to that banner or lived in that kingdom, there was an expected code of conduct, like a code of behaviors and morals and ethics and ideals, and they were aligned with that standard. And so if you came into that territory, if you came into contact with someone who was from that kingdom, then there was an expectation for how they were going to treat you and how you were going to treat them. There are people who are compromising their standard because they are in an identity crisis. They have been lured into living an undisciplined, unprincipled life so that they can gain the acceptance of someone who's just using them. Your standards will keep you from being distracted by things and people that are out of alignment. Recently, I was having a conversation with my son. He was talking about, he's getting tires on his car, and he was like, "Dad, he's still figuring this thing out, right?" So he says, "Dad, they said I need an alignment. Do you think I need an alignment?" I said, "Absolutely, son. You don't want to put, $600, $700, $800 worth of tires on your car and not get it aligned, because the alignment will keep the tires wearing the right way." So, son, when your alignment's off, the car pulls to one side or the other, and so the direction that you're trying to go in, you're getting pulled in another direction. Oh, and so if you find yourself drifting off course, drifting away from some things you said that you were going to accomplish, it may be time to check who's around you or what you have been engaging in that may not seem like a big deal right now, but it's slowly wearing down that which has been set up to keep you on track. See, that's the thing, right? When your alignment's off, it's not like the tires wear right away. It's like it's just a slow rubbing away of the tread that you need to keep your car performing the right way. It's what happens morally for you when you just engage with some things and some people that are not in your best interest, and they just wear away gradually the tread that you need to keep yourself disciplined and principled. The other piece to this is not only was Goblin an opportunistic person or an opportunity but he also lacked authenticity. See, he tried to present that unicorns were one way, and then he presented that they were another way, simply because, when the dragon came, right, he was saying, "Listen, they aren't so bad. We got a lot in common. I could use you in my life." He presented that he should be treated like unicorns, simply because he shared similarities. But here's what we know about goblins. They are not unicorns. As a matter of fact, goblins are actually little demons. And so this little demon is trying to present like this happy rainbow unicorn type like creature. Like, we got a lot in common. I could be like them. But he wasn't. He was misrepresenting himself. And so the unicorns, they never stopped being unicorns. And hey, the dragon never stopped being a dragon. He didn't pretend to be anything other than a dragon. And what made the goblin interesting is he had charisma. Oh, man. Charisma, it's a way of compelling people to follow your line of thinking or your way of doing things. Charisma. To be charismatic, though, does not mean to be authentic. And just because someone is compelling doesn't mean that they are right or safe or have your best interest at heart. Oh, where there is a scarcity of information, there is an opportunity for deception. I would even take it one step further, because sometimes it's not a scarcity of information. Sometimes it's an inability to discern what is truth. And when I don't have wisdom about something, then I and more susceptible to deception. We and here's the deal. As humans, we have a need for certainty. We want to know something. And when we are looking to know something, then we'll sometimes hold on to erroneous narratives because they're supported and validated by the network of people who we have exposed our thinking and our lives to. Oh, and so what happens then is our critical thinking gets hindered. It's hindered because of what is feeding our need for certainty. And when what's feeding our need for certainty is a social movement or a cultural phenomena or a trend, we could get sucked in real quick. Look, y'all, being famous or being a celebrity or being an influencer is not the same as being a trustworthy source of information, knowledge, or wisdom. Talent is not the same as wisdom. In her book, The Power of Wonder, author Monica C. Parker quotes a philosopher and theologian, Philip Quinn. He says this: "One is struck with awe and an encounter with what one takes to be a transcendent source of salvation and liberation. And one subsequently works to develop character traits, qualities of will and heart that will attach one to what one believes to be a transcendent source of salvation and liberation." Let me put that in layman's terms for you. In other words, if we're not careful, we begin to build our lives on sources that are questionable at best and deceptive, meaning they're led by a personal agenda that doesn't consider our well-being at worst. And just because it's viral or trending doesn't mean it should become your standard. Okay, I'll get off of it. And so if you find yourself in this comparison place where you might be envious or jealousy and you're trying to figure out what that is, or you find yourself being not authentic or being an opportunist, it might be a good time to consider what's really happening here. And so if I'm afraid of losing something I value to another person, right, I might want to ask if that's what's really going on. Like, am I fearful that I'm going to lose someone? Or something? Or do I want something someone else has? Like, what's that about? Or maybe I should be asking, if I want something that someone else has, do I want to see them lose it? Or is it not about that? And if it's not about that, what is it really about? And if I'm scared of losing something important to me, time, attention, opportunity, relationship, then what kind of conversation do I need to have with that person, with myself? I want to challenge you to be more authentic. How about you set some standards? And I want you to fight against the comparison demon. Yep, I just called it a demon. It's a goblin. It's a comparison goblin. It's because it's consuming, taking from you instead of giving to you. Unicorns are the worst. Thank you, Alex Willen. This is Life Sculptors, where we help your life take shape. And if you enjoy this conversation, do me a favor. Like, subscribe, comment, and share. Because I guarantee you somebody else wants to be a part of this conversation. And remember this, you're enough. See you next time.